What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast bowing down to Ryan Burge as the undisputed master of the art of petty revenge. Coming up, Ipswich are a point away from the Prem. Can Birmingham produce a miracle to stay up? And the League One and Two playoffs get underway. Out by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. And the season is nearly done, folks. We're here to take you through the final day permutations in the Championship and have a look ahead to what's going to happen as the playoffs get off and running. It's me, Matt, and I am joined by Adrian Clark. How are you doing, Adrian?
Hello, chaps. Yeah, really good. Yeah, can't believe it's coming to an end. It feels like we just started. Just getting going.
Mere 45 match weeks ago or something. Sam Parkin's back with us too. You okay, Sam?
I'm really good, Matt. How are you doing?
Yeah, I can't complain. Before we get into it, let me remind you that our friends at Quinbet have enhanced their UK welcome offer where you can now get a free bet worth up to £35. It is for new customers at sign-up only. You can check out the full terms and conditions at quinbet.com/promotions or use the link provided. It's 18+. And remember, always gamble responsibly. Okay, we're going to start today in the Championship. And we're going to spin back to Tuesday night because Adrian was on hand at the CBS Arena to watch Ipswich take a giant stride towards promotion to the Premier League. They beat Coventry by 2-1. They didn't have it all their own way, though, Clarkie. Did you think that they were worth the 3 points?
I did, yeah. I think they deserved the win. But Coventry made them work for it. And it's just one of the reasons why, you know, I love English football so much. You know, teams are honest. They're, even with nothing to play on, that play for, they'll always give it their best. And Coventry are pushing and pushing and pushing. And they made Ipswich sweat big time, really, at moments. I was really impressed with certain aspects of Ipswich's game. I thought, in particular, when they turn the ball over, and they're very good at it, we know that, where they sort of hunt in packs and steal the ball. But whenever they do it, and they did it a lot in this game, the way they explode into life on those transitions. When you're there, it takes your breath away at times. You know, the speed of it, particularly through Amari Hutchinson, but others as well. You know, Leif Davis, absolutely steaming up and down the left wing in the 93rd minute, or, well, actually, it went to 101 minutes in the end. Yeah, so much energy about the team. And, yeah, they had the superior quality and thoroughly deserved it. And it was just nice to be there and to see the Ipswich celebrations at the end in the corner. You know, the fans, they were put through it at times. But yeah, all's well that ends well as far as they're concerned. Scruffy goal to win it from Cameron Burgess, but they did deserve to.
I love one of those where it takes sort of 2 to 3 seconds for everybody to realise that the ball's gone in the net.
Yeah.
Is that a goal? Burgess just scored that.
Yeah. It was amazing. There was also one of the saves of the season from Vaclav Hladký, who I think, to be honest, was to blame for the Coventry equaliser. Had you right, sort of shot straight through him. But unbelievable save. If you haven't seen it already, check out the replays, because it sort of comes to Casey Palmer, who's got a free shot on goal. It gets blocked. It ends up being a goal line clearance and it comes out to Hadji Wright. It's about 4 yards out. And the keeper's in the process of looking the other way. And he just spins on the spot to face the ball and just launches his hands in the air and somehow tips it over. It was ridiculous. But it's on moments like that promotions are sometimes won, aren't they? So, well done to Ipswich. They won't blow it now. I mean, they've lost one of 22 at home. Got to do it, haven't they? I think if they score early against Huddersfield, they might go and smash them and have a real old knees up at Portman Road.
So, yeah, just to remind you the permutations, I'm sure you know this already, listener, but all Ipswich need is a point against Huddersfield and they will claim second place. Huddersfield are effectively relegated because of their goal difference. Does that mean, therefore, Sam, that the only thing that can get in Ipswich's way are Ipswich themselves? Maidstone have won at Portman Road this year.
Yeah,
so it's not impossible.
This is true.
Yeah, they're the last team. But no, as Clarkie says, the home form has been, you know, almost immaculate. Come up against obviously that Leeds side end of August, who have done that to a number of teams. So there'll be some apprehension, I'm sure, but it's going to be an incredible atmosphere there. Your Huddersfield are going to be down on their feet, really, aren't they? Really low on confidence. And with Clarkie, I played in a game similar to this, actually, at Millwall on final day of the season when I was at Oldham. First year really playing and end up beating us 6-0. Opportunity for them to be promoted and they absolutely ran away with it. So, yeah, and just looking at the team there from Tuesday, you could argue five or six of those players start of the season potentially wouldn't have been in Kieran McKenna's best 11. So that just shows you, again, encapsulates his coaching, improving players. Burgesson, Edmonton, that wouldn't have been his centre-half pairing. No way. So, and the goalkeeper, maybe there would have been, well, clearly Walton would have probably started the season and probably remained in goal. So that encapsulates what Kieran McKenna has been about and the timing of the players coming back to full fitness, Burns and Hurst. I mean, that just bolsters them enormously going into this final game. Chaplin on the bench, don't think he was used the other night. I mean, this is them at their strongest going forward. Hutchison, Broadhead in form. I can only see Ipswich getting it done now. But we've probably said that type of thing before over the last few championship seasons.
Yeah, Burns was great. He did come off injured, I think. So hopefully he's all right, but it didn't look great. He produced a brilliant cutback for Kiefer Moore's goal. The other one, Sarmiento. Talk about being ready. I mean, you can say this about all of Ipswich's subs. I don't know whether they've got like a specialist sub coach or whatever, like some teams do, but there was no... Literally within seconds of him coming on, he was running the players and shooting and making things happen. And he didn't stop doing that until the final whistle. It was one of the brightest sub appearances I've seen for ages. But that's what they've done all year, isn't it? Ipswich, brilliant.
I was the worst sub ever. Like, I used to hurtle about because I think if you're a striker coming on to see a game out or have an impact for 2 or 3 minutes, that's what's expected of you. And that's kind of what the message was. Go and give everything and get you over the line. But getting up to the speed of the game, I found incredibly difficult. I remember the last couple of years, maybe the first few years I had out of the game, watching Eden Hazard at Chelsea. The odd occasion when he was a sub, probably a cup game, coming on, the speed that he picked up, the intensity of the game and his touch so assured. I think it's a really difficult thing to do. Top players can do it. Some players in the EFL become probably masters, experts at coming on affecting games when you're only given a few minutes. It's not easy. It's not easy because it feels 100 mile an hour as soon as you step over that line.
Well, Huddersfield looks like the dream game for Ipswich in particular. You saw Andre Brighton Wright's quotes after their defeat at the weekend, or their draw rather, which felt like a defeat against Birmingham at the weekend. He said afterwards, all the players are disappointed. It's clear some players are more disappointed than others. Some players left early, but they leave early every day. So this was a question for me of heart and passion and the willingness to stay together with the team. This is also a big problem in the team for the whole season, I think, but for sure the time I'm here. If you want that translated, it is. This is not my fault. I got here too late to save them, I'm afraid. So that is Ipswich Huddersfield. Leeds hoping to sneak in via the back door. They host Southampton. They need to win that and for Ipswich to lose. It's unlikely. So therefore, Sam, how are they going to be going into the playoffs? Because you kind of, well, in my head at least, they're clearly the best team that's going to be in the playoffs. But you saw them collapse completely at Loftus Road last week. So maybe you have a different opinion.
Yeah, I'm not so sure they are at the moment. Southampton have had an incredible run this season, got an incredible squad with real depth. But I suppose it's slightly more understandable maybe that there's been a drop off with their results and their performances, given that they're cemented in the playoffs but not going to have a run at the automatic. So we maybe shouldn't be too surprised that they've lost three games on the spin. For Leeds, I think that was incredibly worrying. I think for the first time for a defence that's been so solid, racking up the clean sheets throughout the campaign, to see them conceding the 7 goals, to see the weak spots probably from the dead balls, from the set pieces, QPR have been woeful, I think, from free kicks and corner kicks throughout the campaign, to score from two of those so comfortably is a real concern for them. And I felt with Dan James missing, that was impactful. You know, you're looking at the bench, who can come on and change things for Daniel Farker. No Bamford as well at QPR. I think that played a part in the resounding nature of the victory for QPR. But yeah, Rangers were amazing on the night. But yeah, Leeds are going to have to, I think, put in something of a performance here. So to go in with, you know, back-to-back really subdued performances into the playoffs, so many out-of-form players all of a sudden, that would be a huge concern. I can't really get my head around and be confident in predicting the outcome of this one. Southampton will probably play some fringe players, maybe a little bit of freedom about them. But I think the outcome's probably a bit of a lottery, especially if news filters through quickly and early that Ipswich are a goal or two to the good.
Just give me a shot of somebody in the crowd holding an old-fashioned transistor radio to their ear. That's all they need. I know it doesn't happen these days with devices, but still. Playoffs-wise then, Clarky, we think Leeds are going in it. There is some stuff still to be sorted. Norwich all but guaranteed a place. 3 points ahead of seventh hole, but their goal difference is better by seven. Norwich at Birmingham. They can only drop out if they lose heavily. West Brom get a draw and Hull beat Plymouth away. Plus, there being more than a seven-goal swing between they and Hull. So we'll go ahead and say that Norwich are there. West Brom obviously favourites, 72 points as opposed to Hull's 70. We have been talking for ages about West Brom and how, well, they're all but assured of a playoff place. If you wanted a fixture to book it, it's probably Preston at home at the moment, isn't it?
Well, if you watched Preston against Leicester the other night, you'd probably say so, because it was a pretty nondescript performance. They didn't really offer a great deal. So yeah, they look like good opponents, but Ryan Lowe's a funny one, isn't he? He doesn't strike me as the kind of gaffer that will tolerate two really rubbish performances to end the season. I think he might fire them up a little bit for this and make life tricky for, let's face it, a West Brom team that are out of form. They've only won one of their last seven in the Championship. There's been some odd team selections. A few players have sort of come in, like Jan Mavir's been playing a lot more. Maybe Thomas Asante will come back here. But all the sort of star players have just lost their mojo at the wrong time. Mikey Johnson, who's everything he was touching was turning into goals. I think he's got 1 in 8. Dean Garner, we know what he's capable of. Hasn't done a great deal lately. Jed Wallace, you could probably say the same. So yeah, they've run out of steam a bit. I mean, they are the oldest team, by the way, in the Championship. Oldest average age, 28. I mean, it's not the oldest, but there are quite a few 30-somethings in the group. Just wonder if it's begun to sort of catch up with them a little bit. So I'd expect, a bit disaster if they lose at home to Preston, who don't need... There's nothing riding on it for them. If they lose to Preston, they don't deserve to be in the playoffs. But yeah, I'd fancy them to get the job done. But inside that playoffs, hand on heart, I'd actually give Hull a better chance in the playoffs of going all the way through than I would West Brom. They hit a flat spot at the wrong time, and I don't see them going up.
So Hull then, Sam, got a win at Plymouth and hope West Brom lose. Unlikely, but not impossible. They just go into this with the pressure off, right? And it's been a great season for them, whether they make it or not.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I could see them winning there as well. Argyle obviously had that brilliant win over Leicester, but the home form has been woeful in comparison to how they were under Stephen Schumacher the first half of the season. Not scored two in a game since the 24th of February. 2-0 away win at Middlesbrough, if you remember. So I think they'll probably have to score two to win this game. I don't think they'll keep a clean sheet. I think Hull City have got that array of forward players that are maybe not being fully in sync, but I think they're on their day with a must-win fixture arriving. I think they'll turn up. So I could see Hull winning this, but similarly to Clarkey, I think I could see Norwich losing against Birmingham, at Birmingham. Mm. But obviously that would mean goal difference and Norwich are far superior. So Hull need the favour from West Brom. And as you two rightly said, Preston haven't won, haven't got a point, haven't scored in four games. This is what they did last year. The season is just petering out for them. So I think it'll probably be too late for Hull, but I can absolutely see them winning at home park. And therefore, they would be the ones to drop, wouldn't they, if Birmingham were to beat Norwich?
Mm. Let's go on to that relegation situation then, because the two are linked. So we're saying Huddersfield are down on the basis that they're 3 points short of Plymouth, who are just above the dotted line, but their goal difference is minus 27 and Plymouth's is minus 12. All Birmingham can do, they are in the final relegation spot ahead of kickoff, is win at home to Norwich and hope one of the teams above them drops points. Victory for Plymouth at home to Hull would secure their survival. They could still stay up if they concede less than four and Birmingham failed to win. A point for Blackburn at Leicester and Sheffield Wednesday at Sunderland would clinch safety. But if those below them fail to win, then they will stay up regardless. Any way out for Birmingham, do you think, Adrian? They have the six managers in one season.
Yeah, I think there is a way out. Most Birmingham fans, I've got a couple of mates that are big Birmingham fans. I work with Ian Dantry midweek. They're feeling very pessimistic. But I think they're capable. Norwich have a really bad away record against teams in the bottom half. I think they've lost six of their games to bottom half teams away from home already this season. They don't have anything to play for. They're not in any danger, in my opinion. And Birmingham have, they know what they've got to do, don't they? They know a win is needed. And I think sometimes knowing that as long as you win, you've got a chance, I think that can be helpful. Some strange sort of selections. I suppose every manager comes in and looks at players differently. Yeah, it should be interesting to see a few of the players that haven't really been in the picture. Jordan James, for example, you know, highly rated, you know, worth a lot of money in the transfer market earlier on in the season. Not really been involved lately. So it'd be interesting to see if he gets a chance. You could kind of say the same about Dembele, Alex Pritchard, kind of on the periphery as well. Andre Dizel hasn't played lately as well. So Birmingham have got enough. I think we know they've got enough talent. Stansfield's made a strong stuff up front, confident young boy. Yeah, I think that they can win. And as bad as they've been, they have won two of their last three at St Andrews. So that's not bad. And they were both 2-0 against Coventry and Preston. So, you know, they've got recent happy memories from playing on their own patch, obviously, aside from the loss against Cardiff. But I think they can do it. And if they do win, they won't go down. Because I think Plymouth are up against it against Hull. And I think that Blackburn are almost nailed on to get beat by Leicester, who won that 100 points at the weekend. So, yeah, it's a big incentive here for the Blues.
Blackburn be hoping that Jamie Vardy hasn't sobered up yet, maybe. Yeah, they got 50 points in 19th. Sheffield 20th, also with 50 points. Plymouth, 48. Birmingham, 47. They're quite similar games, aren't they, Sam, for Birmingham and Plymouth in terms of playoff chasing teams at home ahead of them. But it feels like we're veering more towards Birmingham being the more likely to win than Plymouth.
I think so. Yeah, just on the couple of home victories that they had. I think when Gary Rowett came in, you'd have earmarked that was where they were going to get the points from. And Argyle haven't kicked on from that previously mentioned victory over Leicester. Some strange team selection decisions with Argyle the other day as well. A slightly different setup at Millwall. A game I probably expected them to win and secure safety. All of a sudden, Neil Harris is a genius again. Four straight victories. I think deserved victory as well. So they're right back in it. And I couldn't agree more with Adrian's thoughts on Blackburn there. That could be a real party at Leicester. Again, if they get going, that could be a really difficult afternoon. And all of a sudden, they're right back in it. So I would say the most obvious statement of the morning, you know, Blackburn's game's the toughest against the champions who are going to want to put on a show. But yeah, absolutely. I think Plymouth and the form they're in, you know, I'd fancy Birmingham to get a result over them at the moment.
Yeah, I was watching the interviews afterwards at Preston the other night. Vardy was good, actually. He showed a bit of personality. It was quite funny. But he also said, he was quite serious about it. He goes, look, I mean it. Like, we're not done. We won 100 points. Like, we've had this great season, but if we don't get 100 points, it'll be a bad way to finish. So I think there's going to be a real appetite, actually, from Leicester. You don't want to lose or draw before you go and lift the trophy, really, do you? So I think they'll be bang up for it.
Interesting. Our friends at Quinbet have got Birmingham the favourites to go down at 4-11, Plymouth 11-4, and then Blackburn and Sheffield both 16-1 to be relegated. We'll see. So as you mentioned, Clarky, Leicester champions confirmed on Monday. They went at Preston to clinch the title. Should we be concerned that it's the fourth straight season that the championship's been won by a team who got relegated the season before? I mean, it was ever thus, really, wasn't it?
It's a shame, but yeah, we all know why. I think we'd all, not everyone, but a lot of people would prefer the parachute payment system to change. But that doesn't appear that's going to happen anytime soon. But we have had some romance. Yeah, Luton got promoted to the Premier League, remember? And Ipswich are almost promoted to the Premier League. So it goes to show, and it's no coincidence that it's those two clubs, the ownership and the people in the positions of power at both those clubs and the head coaches at both those clubs are top draw, and they've made a series of brilliant decisions. So it can be done on a pretty limited budget. Whoever wins a title doesn't really matter, does it? It's all about promotion.
Sure is. All right, that's the championship. We'll have a look at League One and League Two next. Sacking season has started. Gillingham have parted company with Stephen Clements after not quite 6 months in charge. They finished 12th in the table and said in a statement, results have not met the standards and expectations set by the club. The board believe a change is necessary to give the club the best possible chance of gaining promotion next season. One of these tricky ones for the man departing, Sam, isn't it? Because he doesn't have any previous experience, and you kind of wonder, where do you go next if you don't make 6 months at Gillingham?
Yeah, he's been an assistant, hasn't he? A first team coach for a long period since he stopped playing. So carved out a good career that way. But yeah, going out by himself, I think a difficult job in terms of the squad that he inherited. I think they'd clearly been signed and been developed under Neil Harris, maybe the previous regime, to play quite agricultural football, hard to beat, notoriously really low scoring over the last 12, 18 months, and he's not been able to turn that around. I think therein lies the problem. I think it's harsh. I think you need an opportunity to get some of the players out and bring some of your own players in, especially if the new owners, the Gallantons, want better buck for their money. If they want better style of football, more goals, more flair. It's not going to happen overnight. I suppose it can do, but you're talking about top pedigree coaches going in and, you know, really changing the philosophy overnight. And I think that's hard to do. So, yeah, I think it's harsh, but probably a product of where a lot of clubs are in the EFL and the Premier League. New owners, they want a certain style of football, and it's been clearly to his detriment. So it'll be interesting to see who they go for next.
Interesting, Matt. They've got two very experienced football people above the manager there. The director of football's Kenny Jackett. See, we know about him, and head of recruitment's Andy Hessenthaler. So, those two strong personalities above the manager. Be interested to know who was making all the calls, especially in regards to what they brought in January, which didn't really work, didn't really improve them. You'd say that Hessenthaler really is head of recruitment, maybe, fingers might point towards him a touch, but yeah, I feel it's a bit harsh on Clements. Yeah, he didn't make a big impact, but didn't seem worthy of dismissal either.
I also noticed that Jed Brannan has left the head coach's job at Morecambe to take the assistant manager gig at Accrington. And I thought, that's strange. And then I looked and saw that Morecambe were late paying their wages and thought, fair enough. That'll be why he's gone then.
They'll be lucky to have any players left. I mean, after the issues they've had this season. Yeah, really bad.
There's always at least one crisis club in the EFL, isn't there? Let's have a look at the League One playoffs then. Barnsley versus Bolton is on Friday night. Barnsley having scraped in after changing manager with a game to go. Bolton, the team who got to grapple with the disappointment of finishing third. Bolton are favourites with Quinn Bett Sam to win the playoffs at 13-8. But these are two teams both going into the playoffs on a bit of a downer, right?
I'll make that right, to be honest. I think Bolton are probably the better side. I think there's quite a lot of similarities between the two in terms of the way they set up. Both pretty free scoring. Barnsley's problem is probably at the other end. And they go into this clash, worst team in the division, I think, over the last eight games. No wins in six. Spoke about it on the previous podcast, didn't I? That big moment, really, for Neil Collins, given what's gone in the last few weeks, was that game, ironically, against Bolton when they threw away a two-goal lead. And since then, they've only beaten two teams down the rear end of the table. So it's been a terrible run for them. Obviously, a lot of the attacking players remain from last season. The midfield is a good midfield with Connell and Herbie Kane and Phillips. Real goal threat there. You worry about them maybe defensively in those positions. You think about the power, the running power of Bolton, which we spoke of again this time last season when we were going into this fixture in the playoffs. And if you remember, they were really stodgy games. There was nothing between the two sides. 1-1 at Bolton, 1-0, I think it was, at Barnsley, but really tight affairs. Probably expect something similar. Just fancy Bolton. Fancy Bolton with Charles and Collins. More depth, I think, to their squad. Better options off the bench for Ian Everett. And yeah, I'd expect them to make it through to Wembley. There's been, I think, gradual improvement under Ian Everett, no question. I think they were fifth last year, third year this year. The natural progression I see is them probably to make it through via the playoffs. Oh, I've gone early there.
You concurring? Clarkey, not much between, well, nothing between them in the league meetings, but Bolton better overall this season?
Yeah, they've been the better side over the course of the season, yeah. Barnsley's issue is they haven't really beaten too many of the top dogs at home. They did beat Derby, but they got beat at Oakwell by Pompey, by Peterborough, Oxford, Lincoln and Blackpool. Obviously, Bolton drew there. So, yeah, their body of work at home to the top teams isn't great. That said, Bolton's away record against the better teams isn't brilliant either. Lots of draws in there. Both will match each other up. They sort of always 3-1-4-2. So it's going to be very man to man. Barnsley will go kind of man to man. We know they like to press. It's just what will decide this is, will Barnsley's press suffocate Bolton, or will Bolton play around their press and score goals? Over the two legs, I think their superior quality will just nick it. But I don't think there's a huge gulf between the two sides. There's a lot of players with a lot of League One experience. I think it'll be a tight semi-final.
You think the same for Oxford, Posh? And what kind of impact is that 5-0 win for Oxford last month going to have on this game?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the 5-0er was one of their best performances in donkey's years, according to, I spoke to Simon Watts. Obviously, we know him, a big Oxford fan, EFL expert. And yeah, he just said, it was a phenomenal performance. But that night when I saw him, they got beat at home to Lincoln. So I've got a little bit of short-term bias there, and I think, well, Oxford aren't that great, but I'm sure Peterborough will have full respect for them after what they did. I think the pattern is quite clear. I think Peterborough will have the lion's share of the ball, and Oxford will look to counter on them. That's what happened in that first game. They won 5-0 with 30% of possession. The problem for Peterborough is that Poku is out, and I think that's a bit of a problem. Obviously, it places a lot of pressure on Ephraim Mason-Clark, and obviously Mothersill as well is up top at the minute instead of Jade Jones or Clark Harris. So they're not at their strongest in the forward areas at the moment, Peterborough United, in terms of personnel, and they do concede goals. I was looking at Peterborough's record, conceded at least twice in 6 of 9 matches away to top 10 sides in the division this season. So they've got to be careful in this first leg. If I was Darren Ferguson, I would play this quite more cautiously than normal in the first leg and try and take them back to London Road, where at least level, where you can really sort of tear at them and play your normal game. Because Oxford could cut loose here and score goals.
Sam, if Peterborough were to win this game 4-0, would you back them to go through in the second leg this time?
Yeah, I would. Absolutely. I think this has probably got the makings of the most exciting one so far. Yeah. Obviously, we're waiting for the Championship one. I mean, it'll probably be 0-0 now I've said this. But I don't know these two teams, no KG really. I think they'll go for it. Yeah. The first one could very well be a draw, but I think a scoring draw. And then we'll see what happens at London Road in the return. I mean, it's the highest scorers against the fourth highest scorers. You already obviously talked about that 5-0 relatively recently. Forward players that are bang on it. I mean, Harris has, I think, got 15 goals now for Oxford. Murphy's kind of having this renaissance on the left-hand side, Owen Dale on the right. So that's really exciting from an Oxford perspective. And then just that youthful array of brilliant forward players that Peterborough have got in their ranks, or across their 11, really. I think they're far and away the youngest team, really, in the division. I think Knight at 26 is there with their oldest outfield player the other day. So incredibly free scoring. I think, again, Oxford are playing some great stuff. I think they're quite open. I think we spoke about this during Carl Robinson's reign. Still, Brannigan seems to be the one who's playing at the base of the midfield. And he's a brilliant, creative midfielder, capable of getting goals. So that just shows you they are so front-footed, so expansive, really rely on the back four to be defenders first and foremost, and the rest of them go and express themselves. So I think this one could be pretty high scoring, and I would favour Posh just to make it through, maybe.
All right, we'll see. In League Two, Crawley versus MK Dons and Crewe versus Doncaster, both on Monday. In terms of Crawley, Adrian, I wonder if we owe them something of an apology, because we spent the last couple of years sort of mocking them, haven't we? Crypto Crawley nearly went down last season, looked like it was a shambles. They had all that horrible business with John Yems as well. So we ought to give them some props for the way that they've turned things around, even though they'll go into this one as second favourites.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, they've done brilliantly. I think I might have tipped them for the drop this season. So they've done brilliantly. They recruited a lot of players that are in the non-league as well. So yeah, it's a triumph for good coaching from Scott Lindsay, who's done a really good job. I mean, another team that sort of played with back three, probably 3-5-2 or 3-4-2-1, something like that. And they play great football, really, really good passing football. These are two of the best passing teams in the division, actually, outside of Notts County. High possession, lots of patience. So, Crawley have done brilliantly. Obviously, you got Danilo Orsi with 19. A Greek lad as well, Clady Lolos. Don't know that much about him. He's got 13 goals, 5 assists. Importantly, he's got 5 in his last 6. And he's a player they got from Oxford City, you know. So you know, there are players out there. The goalie's been brilliant. I couldn't believe this stat when I was just sort of trying to look for some numbers on Crawley that told us a bit of a story. And outside of the possession, this really stood out. The goalkeeper's called Corey Adai. According to Opta, he's prevented an extra 17.9 goals this season, which is extraordinary. It is extraordinary, because the next closest on their list is Arthur Okonkwo of Wrexham with 7.6. He has produced a lot of saves this season. They've also got in midfield Liam Kelly, who people might remember from Reading and Oxford. So they've got a good passer in there that holds it together. I give them a chance here. I do. Mike Williamson has gone on record, the MK Dons boss, and said in the two matches, even though it was one win apiece, Crawley were the better side. So, yeah, let's see. I think this is almost 50-50.
Who have you got, Sam?
To win? MK. I think Crawley's form's been pretty patchy towards the tail end of the season. They've done amazingly, but that win over Grimsby was their first win in 5. And Clarkey mentions the goalkeeper. It's the 7 highest XG against. They've got the worst in open play. Mm. So they concede a lot of chances, Crawley. Mm. And they've had to rely on their goalkeeper to produce some good saves. And I think if you present MK Dons good openings, they'll punish you. But again, similar to Oxford against Peterborough, you can't not see these being high scoring affairs.
Yeah.
MK have got some players banging form. Think of Dean at the top end of the pitch, 15 goals. Alex Gilby, I've not heard spoken about much this season, yet every time we focused in on MK Dons games, he's scoring. Every time I'm watching their highlights, he's finishing with aplomb. It's 23 goal involvements. Mm. I mean, this must be his best season for many.
He got player of the season this week, Sam. Yeah.
So it's all been, when we've spoken about them, it's been about Dan Kemp, who all of a sudden finds himself out of the team. Jack Payne, the aforementioned Dean. They got some brilliant forward players. And yeah, for anyone who doesn't watch live League Two football, they'll get a bit of a shock if they turn this one on, because there's probably been a few stinkers throughout the season, which you're going to get in the bottom division. But this is two teams that are going to stroke the football around and play some really nice stuff and affect things with really talented forward players as well. So this would be a really easy game on the eye.
No, I'm not against MK here, because I think that they're worthy favourites to go through. It's been a bit of a wild end to the season for them. I'm going to read out the score lines from the last 6. 1-5-0, drew 3-3, 1-2-0, lost 4-1, 1-5-3, drew 4-4. I mean, it's not the most sort of measured into a campaign. So yeah, I think Sam's right. This is going to be quite a lot of fun, I think.
Get your money on 0-0 for that one then. Is a tip there. Final game we're going to talk about, Crewe versus Doncaster. This one's also on Monday. Quite the difference in recent records for these two. Sam, Doncaster ought to be red hot favourites based on form. So it would just be so playoffs if Crewe went through at their expense.
Yeah, in terms of form, everyone would bank on Donny making it through. But that's not... forget that Crewe have had an unbelievable season. I think similarly to Crawley, we would not have envisaged this. Some really good, talented players that have come through the system, as you would expect with Crewe, but married with good experience of Dimitriou, who's provided real set piece threat for them. Elliot Nevitt's in really good form as well. Would anticipate them having more of the ball. Doncaster are just incredibly functional from what I've seen. And I spoke about them a little bit in depth on the last podcast, but incredible loan signings in January. Couple of really important additions in midfield, Delican and Molyneux wide. Ironside, 20 goals from the central striker. Obviously, those three players there come into this campaign, this playoff campaign, incredibly confident. So I think above maybe any of the other games that we've just spoken of, this is going to be maybe the one with the biggest contrast, where Crewe will try and play a little bit more through the thirds, and then we'll see the power of just a really well-organised Doncaster side, as Grant McCann's Hull City side were. If you remember when they got promoted from League One, we were a little bit quizzical as to how they'd got promoted at such a canter. And I think, I'm not saying something similar is happening here, but I can see the real makings of a solid, strong, functional Grant McCann side, and they've got, you know, that firepower to add. So I'd have to side with Donny for this, but just purely because the form and Crewe's lack of, you know, they're coming in 10 points from their last 12 games. They are not in promotion form at the moment.
Yeah, it's an interesting team talk, isn't it, for Crewe? Like, you just got to say, forget about what's happened. Let's treat these games in isolation. And maybe we're a little bit lucky to be here, but we're here, so let's make the most of it.
Yeah, let's sort of go for it. Might be the mentality, because, yeah, it was really flat into the season. They only scored 5 goals in their last 11 matches. I mean, it's really bad. The last 3 matches in front of their own supporters, they got beat 3-0 in all of them. So you can imagine, you know, if you're thinking about that's in the back of your mind, you're going to be really on edge against this on-fire Donny. So I think the manager, really, Lee Bell's just got to relax the players and just say, look, we've got nothing to lose here. Everyone thinks we're going to get smashed. Let's go out and show them why we're in the playoffs. Let's remember what got us into that lofty position in the first place. So, yeah, I think we will see a reaction. I think we'll see a better crew. It should bring the best out of them. Set pieces in playoff games are often massive, especially if it's a tight, cagey game. Set plays could make the difference, and Crewe are really, really good at them. On Donny, very quickly, the goalkeeper who got sent off at Gillingham on the last day, Timothy Lotutala, on loan from Hull, his red card's been rescinded, so he is available for the game. So another one as well, Richard Wood is there, who obviously was with Rotherham, getting numerous promotions out of League One. He's close to getting a promotion out of League Two. What a career he's had.
Absolutely. Monday, as I say, for both of those two games. Nearly done for today. Let me remind you before we go that our friends at QuinnBet have enhanced their UK welcome offer, where you can now get a free bet worth up to £35. It is for new customers at sign up only. Check out the full terms and conditions at quinnbet.com/promotions or use the link provided. It's 18+. And remember, always gamble responsibly. Now, you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at WhatTheEFL, on X at EFLWhatThe, which is where we find our tweet of the week. It comes from Kiernan Dewsbury Hall. He's quote tweeted Leicester saying champions with a picture that says straight back and all the players looking very jolly. KDH_8 simply says, we done it, full stop. Trophy emoji, blue heart emoji. Sam, to me, this is the most disappointing tweet of the week that we've ever had on this show. Why even bother?
Is the grammar you're not happy with? You want, we did it.
I mean, you've just won the title. The grammar's a problem, but the lack of interest. Just don't post it if you're not that into it. We're done.
Critical when people write too much and go overboard. That we're slaughtering him here for not doing enough. I listen, it's not a great tweet, but I did thoroughly enjoy scrolling down, looking at all the celebration videos. I enjoyed all the stuff from the training ground, which was good. Dewsbury Hall, sunglasses on throughout, inside the canteen, bottle of Peroni in hand. Like the look. If you can ever wear sunglasses indoors, it's the day after your promotion has been secured. Well done, mate.
To me, Adrian, this smacks of his agent saying, look, you ought to put something out just so people are aware you've got an online presence, and he's done this to tick the box.
No, I don't think so. I think he's just a man of few words.
Half cut, morning after, scrolling.
Yeah. I think that's it. I think he's done it in about 3 seconds. I did notice on the night they got promoted, when Leeds lost, he just tweeted, everyone out in Leicester then, or something like that. That's all he put. So, he's just, he's a simple fella, you know, and I too admire the shades indoors. he's had a brilliant season as well. I love him as a player, and I'm not gonna criticize him. I think he's been brilliant this year.
Yeah, brilliant player, not a great tweeter, would be my analysis, but still, well done to him and to Leicester, and maybe to Ipswich as well. We'll find out. We'll be back with you next week to react to whatever happens on the final day of the Championship and those first leg playoff games as well. Join us for that if you can. Until then, thanks to Sam and Adrian, and to you. We'll catch up with you soon. Bye for now.